In today's news headlines, the Wisconsin election recount ordered and paid for by President Donald Trump's campaign has confirmed Joe Biden's win. In Milwaukee County, Biden's final count was a net gain of 132 votes over Trump, while in neighboring Dane County, Trump's total increased by 45 votes over Biden. In other words, there was a negligible change to the final vote tally. One of Trump's campaign spokespeople, Jenna Ellis, said the recount, quote, revealed serious issues with the election, but mysteriously refused to elaborate on her dramatic claim. This is Scott McDonald, Dane County clerk.
From day one, that these numbers were not going to change much at all. And that's exactly what happened. If a voter made a mistake, the voter forgot to sign it and mailed it in, then that would be a problem. The one thing that we refused to do here was penalize a voter for a clerk error. There was no concrete example at all of anything improper.
Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, the state Supreme Court rejected Republican efforts to invalidate 2.5 million mail-in votes. Pennsylvania's Attorney General Josh Shapiro called the suit's dismissal, quote, another win for democracy. Former Homeland Security official Christopher Krebs, who Trump fired for calling the election fair, gave an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes where he reiterated his claims.
I have confidence in the security of this election, because I know the work that we've done for 4 years in support of our state and local partners. I know the work that the intelligence community has done, that the Department of Defense has done, that the FBI has done, that my team has done. I know that these systems are more secure. I know, based on what we have seen, that any attacks on the election were not successful.
That's former Homeland Security official Christopher Krebs, a Republican appointee of Trump, who was fired for speaking the truth about a fair election. On Sunday, Trump himself gave his first interview since losing the election. He spoke with Fox News' Maria Bartiromo in a conversation filled with lies.
It's statistically impossible. I led the charge. We won state houses, we won Congress, we won the Senate, and I lost. They say it's statistically impossible for that to happen.
That's Trump on Fox News continuing to spread conspiracy theories about the election that he lost. As President-elect Biden begins the transition process, he will finally begin receiving intelligence briefings. Biden has also convened a committee to plan his January 20th inauguration, an extraordinary undertaking considering that the festivities will take place in the midst of an ongoing pandemic. He also revealed all 7 members of his communications team, significant for being all women, something that's never before happened. Among them is Simone Sanders, a former staffer for Bernie Sanders' presidential bid. Biden also confirmed that Janet Yellen, former Federal Reserve Chair, will lead his Treasury Department, becoming the first woman in that role. And his White House team of economic advisors includes Cecilia Rouse, Jared Bernstein, and Heather Boucher. Bernstein and Boucher in particular have a strong background on progressive economic policymaking. To lead the Office of Management and Budget, Biden picked Neera Tandon, who will become the first woman of color in that position. Tandon headed the Center for American Progress and went on to work for Hillary Clinton's campaign, often criticizing progressive activists and efforts. But Tandon faces opposition from Republicans too, some of whom have vowed not to confirm her in the Senate. Biden's pick of Michelle Flournoy to head the Defense Department continues his history-making streak of appointing women to powerful positions, but Flournoy faces stiff opposition from a coalition of anti-war groups. As COVID-19 cases continue to spread across the United States, AstraZeneca became the latest pharmaceutical company to announce success in its vaccine efforts, saying it has achieved 90% efficiency. Moderna, the Boston-based company, announced its final result of 94.94% effectiveness and said it will apply for emergency FDA approval and that the first doses could be offered as early as December 21st. Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, returned to the White House podium after months to address reporters and reflected on the vaccine's development.
And I hear a lot now when we made these announcements this past Monday, and then 2 Mondays ago, about some reticence of people. Well, did you rush this? Was this too fast? Is it really safe? And is it really efficacious? The process of the speed did not compromise at all safety, nor did it compromise scientific integrity. It was a reflection of the extraordinary scientific advances in these types of vaccines, which allowed us to do things in months that actually took years before.
That's Dr. Fauci reflecting on the vaccine development process in an address from the White House on Monday. California has reached a record high for COVID-19 hospitalizations as Governor Gavin Newsom ordered more shelter-at-home restrictions. But in New York City, after concerns that schools would be shut down once more, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced they would remain open. Congress has returned from the Thanksgiving recess and faces urgency on legislative efforts to offer economic aid related to the pandemic. A temporary spending bill is set to expire on December 11th, and if lawmakers don't act, they face a government shutdown. It's not clear if Trump will sign a stopgap spending measure if it's passed. Meanwhile, nearly 90 million American workers are on the verge of losing access to paid leave once a COVID-related measure expires at the end of this year. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on Monday on one of Trump's signature anti-immigrant efforts. The case is over whether to count undocumented immigrants when allocating congressional seats. Trump has long railed against immigrant-heavy states such as California. If the conservative majority on the court sides with Trump, Republicans could gain seats in the House, fulfilling the ongoing project of right-wing minority rule. The Census Bureau would submit a count of how many undocumented immigrants there are per state before the case could be acted upon. But by the time that happens, Trump will no longer be in office. A political fundraiser named Imad Zubairi faces charges of campaign finance violations and tax evasion and has been revealed to have worked as a go-between for dirty leaders and financiers. Associated Press obtained emails from Mr. Zubairi, who was the Trump Inauguration Committee's top donor. In those emails, the man that the prosecutors described as a political mercenary said, quote, "Everyone wants to come to Washington to meet people. We get requests for meetings from all the scumbags of the world, warlords, kings, queens, presidents for life, military dictators, clan chiefs, tribal chiefs, etc." According to Associated Press, pay to play, he explained to clients, was just, quote, how America works. Zubairi's story underscores how loosely regulated campaign finance and foreign lobbying laws are and raises an embarrassing question. How does such a cynical fraudster find favor with so many officials at the highest levels of the U.S. government? End of quote. Iran buried its top nuclear scientist on Monday after he was killed by an assassin using a remote-controlled machine gun. Reports have confirmed that Israel, at the direction of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was responsible for the killing of Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Iran's leadership has vowed revenge and said there would be no negotiations with the West going forward. And finally, in Brazil, mayoral candidates backed by President Jair Bolsonaro faced severe losses in recent municipal elections. According to AP, the president's worst rebuff came in his hometown of Rio de Janeiro, where Mayor Marcelo Crivella was battered in a runoff election Sunday, losing to his center-right predecessor, Eduardo Paes, by 64-36%. Crivella, an evangelical pastor, repeatedly used the president in his campaign to try to turn his fortunes. Of all the mayoral candidates that Bolsonaro supported, only 5 won their races, and none of them in major cities. And that does it for our news headlines.